Good morning. The Lord's blessing to each one of you. Appreciated the song that Nathan led just after we came up. And when the roll is called up yonder, how many of you are ready for that? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, ready to go to be with him. I trust that we all are. I see I have both of my daughters here today. Thank you for coming. September the 13th was when we had our camp out, and we missed a Sunday school lesson, and a couple of you asked about that and wanted to look at it. And so I decided that I would base my thoughts on that lesson this morning, because I too thought it was one of the more important lessons that we had in the... They're all important, but I... You know me, I like my prophecy, and I like the things that... What it was talking about there, it's the time of the end was the title of the lesson. And the focus was to be ready for the return of Christ. And if there ever was a time that we need to be ready for the return of Christ, it is today. As you look at the things that are happening, especially in the Middle East, we would realize that the time is probably short. I'm going to read a lot of verses this morning, and I realize that I cannot fill in all the blanks, but I trust by reading these verses, it will encourage you to open your own Bible and read the verses that I'm not able to read, or portions of scripture that would tie in with this. I will try to be clear in my thoughts, and I realize probably not everybody will agree with me, but that's fine. I believe the scripture is pretty plain in many areas. And just like our Sunday school lesson this morning, I was very frustrated by what the writers left out. Because if you would have went a couple times there, if they'd have went two or three verses further, you could have seen the Antichrist. You could have seen the return of the Lord. You could have seen a lot of things. And chapter 14 was completely left out. And it's probably one of the most important chapters there, in my opinion. But anyway, the time of the end. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. I'm going to read some of those verses that were in our Sunday school class. 1 through 4, and then verse 11, and I will try to give you the verses as I go. It'd be nice if you could follow along in your Bibles. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, to start. He says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." Jeremiah says it's Jacob's trouble. "Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Who is thy people in this verse? Who's Daniel's people? The nation of Israel. So we're talking to Israel, and we're talking about Jacob's trouble, which is the tribulation. That's what we're talking about. The first verse there is about the tribulation. The second verse now jumps to the end of the thousand-year reign. And he says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." In fact, Zechariah tells us that 2/3 of thy people, Daniel, shall die. And some shall sleep in the dust, and some shall awake, but 2/3 of them are going to die. Now, there's 15.7 million Jews today. If this were to happen today, there's 15.7 million Jews in the world. If 2/3 of those were killed by the Antichrist, that's 10.5 million that would die. There were 6 million killed in the Holocaust. So look what's coming for the Jewish people. Verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away to righteousness are as stars forever and ever." I believe he's talking about the 144,000 that will be preaching during the tribulation. Verse 4, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end, to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So Daniel 12 has to do with the Jewish people in the end times. He's told to seal up the book. In Revelation 22, it says to unseal the book. Daniel looks forward to what is coming. John in Revelation looks back and tells us what's happening. So we need to read Revelation to understand Daniel. And we'll look at that just a little bit. But you know, the longer time goes, the more we understand. We know a lot more about the way things may happen, by what is happening, what is currently happening, than what we did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, the things that are happening. But especially since 1948, when Israel became a nation, and a lot of things have come to light since October 7th of 23. And just this week again, Russia, Putin called the leaders of Turkey and Iran to a meeting. Do you hear the bells ringing? What does Ezekiel say about Russia, Turkey, and Iran? Verse 11 of that of our lesson there that day said, "And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now turn with me to Matthew 24. And we'll look a little bit again. Jesus mentions this abomination of desolation. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22. Jesus said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." You suppose Jesus was saying, look back at what Daniel was telling you, and then as you see things happen, you will understand what Daniel was talking about. So we are to understand. Verse 16 says, "Then let them which be in Judea." So who are we talking about again? We're talking about the nation of Israel. "Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Again, we're talking to Jews. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And remember, the children of Israel were the elect. We're still talking about the Jewish people. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Said I'm going to be reading a lot of verses, but I trust that it encourages you to think about what the Scripture says and then fill in the blanks as you read Scripture yourselves. And this is I'm going to read starting at verse 13, very familiar portion of Scripture. So again here, what we just read in Matthew 24, he's talking about the tribulation period. He says when it comes, get out. I believe they go to Petra. The ones that flee go to Petra. Because Isaiah talks about Bozrah, which is Petra. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 to start with. Does the bride go through the tribulation? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the Lord is not coming back to earth, we are meeting him in the air. We'll later see that when he comes back to earth, again he's coming back to the Jewish people. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That truly is a comfort, or should be, to the bride of Christ. Going right on in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now notice, and I've read this to you before, I'm going to read it again, and notice the difference between the we's, the ye's, the us, the they, and the them. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord in the Bible is generally talking about the tribulation. It's, I think, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but the day of the Lord is always talking about judgment. But most of the time it's talking about the tribulation. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should take you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came. He came to shed his blood. We've already talked about that this morning. He came to shed his blood so that we don't have to go through this. Verse 10, who died for us, that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That's enough to even make a Mennonite say hallelujah. Now turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, Daniel is reading the scriptures, which I believe Daniel did a lot, the scriptures that he would have had. Now, he didn't have a Bible like we did, but I believe he must have had the scriptures because it says he was reading Jeremiah and he was reminded of what Jeremiah had told him, that 70 years they were to be in captivity, and that 70 years was almost up. And so he was praying. In 1 through 19, he's praying, and he's praying for himself. He's praying for Jerusalem. He's praying for the children of Israel. I want to start in verse 20 and read through verse 27. This is Daniel speaking, and he says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, or in other words, Jerusalem, Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or the evening sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, or the beginning of thy prayer, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Again, we're talking about the Jews. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. There comes that phrase again. Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. How many of you know the account of the 70 weeks? How many have stopped and figured out when that started and when it stopped? Or has it stopped? Well, first of all, when you go to the 70 weeks and you go to days, you have to remember that in prophecy, and the Jews still do this, they have a 360-day year, not a 365. So you have to start with, again, the Jewish way of doing things. The 70 weeks are in three periods. 7 weeks, or 49 years, 62 weeks, or 434 years, and 1 week, 7 years. The first period starts on a very familiar day to me, March 14th, but not the year I was born. It's 445 B.C. With the decree allowing the Jews to return to their land and rebuild the city. How do we know that's the date? Because the Bible tells us. And brothers and sisters, I believe the Bible tells us a lot of dates that we don't understand and we don't put into the picture. There's one date that we're not told of. That's the day of the rapture. But almost all the other dates that you want to figure out are in God's word. He didn't want to hide anything. It's there for us if we look for it. It's there. March 14th, 445 B.C. was when when the king told Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the walls in the city, to return to their land, to rebuild the city. That's when it started. I mean, we have the date. The next 62 weeks, or the 434 years, take us up to the time of Christ. In fact, it was April the 6th of 32 AD. The missing 70th week, or the 7 years, will be fulfilled when? Did it happen? Is everybody afraid to talk? The 7 years will be fulfilled in the end times, and it parallels Revelation 6 through Revelation 19. Again, read Revelation and you understand Daniel. Read Daniel and you understand Revelation. The prince who is to come in verse 26 and in verse 27 says that he, and notice it's not capitalized, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. The prince who is to come is the Antichrist. He will make that covenant. And I believe that when he makes that peace treaty with Israel and allows them to build the third temple, is when the 7 years start. So again, when that happens, you can set the time. You can put it on your, well, I hope none of us are here. But you could put it on your cell phone and say, in 7 years, because that's going to be the end. Again, you can set up the time any way you want to. But he makes a covenant with Israel, and the 7 years start. And he says that he will protect them for 7 years. But after 3.5 years, he will break the covenant, and he will usher in the most horrible of horrible times, which the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation. It's the most terrible time the earth will ever see. And that final 7-year period climaxes with the return of Christ, the defeat of his enemies, and the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. Where are we at? Are we still in Matthew? Go back to Matthew 24 again. I was going to say, keep your fingers in Daniel and Matthew, because we're going to be flipping back and forth. But at the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, and again, Matthew's written to the Jews. We're still talking to the Jewish people. Although there are times that it's talking about the bride. And I know it can get very confusing sometimes, because in the same verse you can read of the first coming and you can read of the second coming. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 35, in the Olivet Discourse here. Verse 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree." And remember, the fig tree in the Bible always refers to Israel. There's three trees mentioned in the Bible, but the fig tree, remember, is Israel. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree," or learn a parable of Israel, you could say. "When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." When did Israel put forth leaves that were tender and she was young? May 14th, 1948. Verse 33, "So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So we can rely on what we're being told here. And the Jews can too. But the Jews are not reading this unless you're a Messianic Jew. They're not reading this. But it very plainly tells them here that the generation that sees 1948, things will not pass until all these things. I believe that's what it's saying. And so how long is a generation? You figure it out, because it has changed over the years. Okay, let's go to Revelation, chapter 19. The tribulation is about over. And we'll see what Revelation 19 tells us. Starting at verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. What other times are we mentioned that there's a group that wears fine linen, white and clean? Who is it? The bride. So the bride comes with him here. So if we come with him here, we had to leave before this could happen. Because we're coming back at the end of the tribulation, and he's coming back to the battle of Armageddon. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Do you see the battle of Armageddon? And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we have another rider on a white horse in Revelation, in chapter 6, verse 2. And that's where the Jews miss it. The rider on that horse comes, but he is the false Christ. Remember, Satan tries to imitate everything that Jesus does. And here he comes on a white horse already in Revelation 6. But this rider is that we've just read about here is the true Messiah, the one in chapter 19. And notice that he is not coming in the air to take his bride home, as we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4. But he's coming to earth with us to conquer his enemies and establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. In Matthew chapter 6, we have the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever thought about, and a lot of people pray this prayer, but have you ever thought about that we are praying for that kingdom to come, that 1,000-year reign kingdom to come, because it says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The only time that we can have a peaceful kingdom is when Christ is ruling on earth, which he will do for 1,000 years following this time. Remember that the salvation, or the tribulation, is for the salvation of the Jewish nation. And so Jesus is working with the Jews throughout this time, through the tribulation period. He's working with the Jews, and he comes back for them, but only one third will be there when he comes back, according to Zechariah, which our lesson left out today. Now notice also that the phrase 1,000 years occurs 6 times in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. This period is known as the millennium, or 1,000 years, 1,000-year kingdom of Christ on earth. At least Christ and his bride will reign over the nations of the earth. Or we could say at last it'll be that. And Israel will enjoy all the blessings that was promised to them. It's coming back to, he made a lot of promises to the Jews that have not been fulfilled. For instance, their land. Now you can go back to Ezekiel and you can read the last chapters of Ezekiel, and it tells you exactly how, and by the way, that's when the fourth temple will come. The third temple that the Jews build here when they had the chance, when the Antichrist gives them this, when he makes this covenant with them, lets them build the third one, that's destroyed. But there'll be another one. There'll be a fourth temple. And that'll be during the time of the 1,000-year reign. If the Jews would only understand. And we are supposed to be, we are to make them jealous so that they come. We have people today who want to become Jews. No, no, no. We are to make the Jews a part of the bride, not become part of the Jews. I just wish that people would understand that we need to be going to the Jews and showing them, not the other way around. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. And here I want to read, I think it's the whole chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that tribulation day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We just read that a minute ago. How he come, or basically, maybe didn't read it, but I inferred of it. He sits in the temple, makes himself God, and says, okay, this is at the halfway point in the tribulation. Okay, you guys are worshiping the wrong person. You need to worship me. And then the Jews realize, hey, we've got the wrong Messiah. And they flee to the mountains. But he's showing himself he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Revelation 19. We just read it. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and him that perishes, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, and believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification and of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So Satan wants to make us lose our confidence. And one of the main weapons is deception. What is happening today? Can you believe anything or anything that you hear, especially on the news, and sometimes even otherwise? But his main weapon is deception. And here, in what we just read here, someone claimed to have a letter from Paul saying that the day of the Lord was present. And others said they had messages through the Spirit. They forgot what Paul had taught them. And we see that in verse 5. So they fell for the lies of the enemy. Are we falling for them too sometimes? The times and seasons of God's prophetic plan are in God's hands. We see that throughout Scripture. And he has everything in control. Paul here in verse 13 assures us that the church is destined for salvation and not judgment. Remember, we already read in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 10, and I'll repeat it, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came, who died for us, that whether we wake, whether we're still here, or whether we're sleeping, we're in death, we should live together with him. Regardless of which way it is, if we are in Christ, we are going to be with him. When the trumpet sounds, we're going. The Spirit of God in this world is keeping God's program on schedule. When He leaves, we leave. Now, when I say the Spirit of God is keeping God's program on schedule, if you notice what it said there, that, well, let's go back to Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit indwelt the believer, correct? Before that, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people. At Pentecost, He comes within us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Satan cannot come into the picture totally until the Holy Spirit leaves, according to what we just read. So when we leave, the Holy Spirit goes with us, and Satan is allowed to come in. Now, I believe that during the tribulation period, the Holy Spirit again comes upon people. But we are the only ones. We are such a blessed people to be a part of the bride, the church of the bride of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living within. But when that Holy Spirit leaves, we'll leave with Him. And then Satan takes over. So if we stay in the Word, we're not going to fall for Satan's lies. And we can face the future with assurance, with hope, and comfort because of the unfailing grace of God. Have you thanked God lately? I trust we have, but I'll put it that way. Have you thanked Him lately for what He has done? Because of what He has done, we can go with Him, be a part of the bride, to go with Him, to leave here before, and just look around us, the things that are happening. The things that are happening are getting worse and worse, and it's going to get a lot worse. But sometime, I believe, in the very, very near future, God's going to take the Holy Spirit back, and we're going to go along. And all I can say is, Maranatha, which is the Lord is coming, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let us be ready to meet Him in the air. We don't want to be part of that group that He comes back at Armageddon, because there'll be very few left. I almost want to say, do you have any questions? But I'm sure there's a lot of questions. It's something I love, brethren, and I trust that you are able to see that we are not looking forward to what is going to happen to the Jewish people. And we should be getting the word to them as much as possible. And that's not always easy. But God has prepared something for us because we are the bride. Remember, the nation of Israel is God's wife. But we are the bride of Christ. There is a difference. The Lord bless you.